doc of something, and I'd be happy to.
That'd be a good idea, right?
I didn't print it. I read it on my... Thank you. And do you want me to start at the top? Because I don't usually do this. Do you want me to start with the date and all of that?
Yes, yep, please.
So today is the 14th of May, and we're in room 709 at City Hall. And this is, subject of the hearing will be applications for certificates of design approval on the agenda below, review of architectural violations, and such businesses may become before the commission in accordance with Chapter 772 of the Acts of 1975 as amended. Applications are available for public inspection by appointment during normal business hours at the offices of the Environmental Department. Applicants or their respective representatives are requested are required to attend unless indicated otherwise below. And then the first one we're doing is 19.1036 City Light Pole, northwest corner of Bay State Road, Charles Gate West, 7 Bay State Road. Right?
Yep.
Great, thanks.
Are we doing, want me to read all three, or are we doing them one at a time?
Yeah, why not read all three?
Okay, that'll and then the second is one is 19.1037 51 Bay State Road, and 19.1038 96 Bay State Road.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael Jaimo representing Selco Partnership, and this is part of a an arrangement.
I wrote one in, we just started.
Welcome.
Good.
This is part of a contract with the city for attachments to city-owned light poles where the wireless attachments are placed on a replacement light pole that's designed to resemble the light pole being replaced as closely as possible. And so these are three sites that fall within your jurisdiction. We try to stay out of the design districts if we can, but it's not always possible based on the technology and where these things have to be located. The purpose is to provide enhanced wireless service in the areas where these poles are located, and they're part of a larger network that includes poles that are not in this district. I can answer questions, but
sure.
That's,
do you want to, we can just run through here where they're going to be. And in my comments, I don't know if you all got to see, I included some photos that show where they're going to be. This first one at Charles Gate, when I went out to take a look, if you notice, it's quite close to the street traffic controls, which I think help make it blend in so
more,
it's not as noticeable. So I had recommended approval of that one. Let's see, in Back Street. Again, it's removed from the district, so it's in the back area of
back
these
alley,
buildings.
Yep.
So
no problem.
I recommend approval for that one.
Yep.
And then the third, across the street, there is already one that exists. And I don't think you can see it in your photo.
Okay.
Right, there's one at 100 Bay State Road right as you come out of the alley.
Yes.
Right.
So in the photos that I sent in my comments, you can see that there already are these DAS nodes in this area.
Right.
So it seemed, these all three seem like appropriate locations.
That's right.
No brainer, yeah.
So should we?
I know where two out of three are.
Yes.
Do you know where that one is?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
So do we just approve?
Do you want to make a motion?
And then we'll see if there's any public comment.
Oh, any comment? Any public comment? No. Hearing none, do you want to make a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
I'll second that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Great.
Thanks for sending those in advance, Joe, because that made it much easier
for
us to understand and walk around and look at it. So
did the footwork.
Okay. Yes. No, it was great.
All right. Now,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next, would you like to start, Boston University, which one would you like to start with?
Science
Center?
Science
Center?
How are you doing?
Good to see you.
Do you guys need to sit together? Because I can move over.
No, we see each other too much.
All right. Is this for us then?
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have my contact info? Do you have a card? Because, you know, someone does something.
Yeah.
Just as an introduction to the two Boston University presentations, pretty interesting presentation tonight. Two very different projects. The first is new construction, adjacent to but touching into, extending into the district at the West End. The other is the renovation and some rehabilitation work for 91 Bay State Road, the old Shelton. Kind of light, but certainly not as extensive as what we just finished up successfully at Miles. So let me turn it over to a team from KPMB and ask them to introduce themselves, and the landscape architect to take us through the new construction. You guys know the district better than me. I've only been at BU for 40 years. The site that we're talking about on Comm Ave was once a Gulf gas station at the corner. For the longest time, a Burger King site. And before that, I guess the Peter Pan Diner.
Oh my God, yes, that's right. Yeah.
But it's been in our master plan since 86, and now we're looking to build a new building, data sciences. So, Paolo, Luigi,
sure.
Skip.
Is there a control?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
yeah. Well. So, I'm Luigi LaRocca, KPMB Architects. I'm the principal.
And I'm Paolo Rocher, principal of KPMB Architects as well.
Excuse me.
Thank you. And Skip Burke, Richard Burke Associates, Landscape Architects. We're working with KPMB.
So the site, as Paul mentioned, is at the heart of the BU campus, and it's outlined in red there. The Architectural Conservation District just runs down the middle of the alley and cuts up Granby and across Bay State Road. So the north side of our building, at the cantilevers, and has a cantilevers over that historic district. This is the current conditions of the site. It's a parking lot, and again, you can see the laneway in the backs of the Bay State Road brownstones. And our building now infills that parking lot and tries to tie in contextually the red brick of the Back Bay area and the limestone colors of the north of the west campus of BU. As this building sort of spirals up into the sky, there's these two colors that are sort of blending the two together. It's at a crossroads between these languages. And this is, if you haven't seen it in the paper, this is sort of what the building looks like from Commonwealth Avenue, from the Silsey building, looking northwest.
We're deeply in the middle of the review process, with the city process and the BPDA.
and BCDC and all that.
BCDC,
yeah.
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 So this is the historic review.
Okay.
So views of the building from the west looking east along Commonwealth Avenue to the site at dusk. Just to give you a quick, some details of the facade studies that we're looking at. There's a diagonal louver. If we go back, there's two facade elements. So the reddish color is a diagonal louver that cuts out the solar gain. And then we have this, we call it the sawtooth, the vertical elements. Where we have a less deep floor plate that sort of spiraled up the building. And these are the details. This is the elevation of that diagonal louver in front of an all-glazed facade, and then the sawtooth where it cuts down to 50% glazing to mitigate the solar heat gain. So here's a ground floor plan of our precinct with the limits of the ACD highlighted there. And you can see, is there a pointer?
It won't work on the screen.
Okay. So you can see there's a dotted line that shows our building cantilever. And you'll see it in subsequent drawings how the building cantilevers over the district, but it's up at six stories above the laneway. So the building at grade is basically on the limits of the ACD, except for at the northwest corner. I think it overlaps about a foot and 2 inches, I think we...
And I think it's important, too, just to highlight that it's going over the
alleyway and not a building.
It's going over the alley and not the building, correct. So you can see the northern edge of that dotted line is the cantilever.
And Paul, you own all the buildings abutting this, right?
We own all the buildings abutting this.
Except for that, it's an MIT and an MIT.
The two in yellow, the two in yellow.
Right.
Delirious hair salon's wonderful.
So we've done a cross-section from Bay Street to Commonwealth Avenue and just showing you the limits of the district. And this is at the courtyard of our building, so the building is set back.
So Con Ave there, the sidewalk, courtyard behind the building. This is the alley that has been designed to become the laneway here. And then the kind of lower elevation of the townhouses here down around 13, and then the higher elevation.
It might be better to go back to the plan and let Skip just walk around the site and orientate people.
All right, I'll do it kind of quickly because there are quite a few open spaces. But Con Ave sidewalk. We have a kind of a narrow plaza here with seating built in. And so that's the south side of the building. Then going from east to west, there's covered bicycle storage for about 120, 125 bikes. And we have both kind of secured bicycle storage here, but we also have all around it, all around the project, unsecured bicycle for those that don't have registered cards that they can swipe to get in. There is a mid-block crossing here with the stairs going down here. And right here is a sloped walkway that gets you down to the same alley elevation. So this is sort of elevated somewhat above the laneway. Moving west here, we have a cafe with some movable seating outside. We have a similar kind of thing, more cafe seating out here, some fixed seating but movable seating as well. The two entrances on Com Ave, you swing around. There's one to the west on Granby. The entry to the laneway here. backyards are all on that 13 elevation, kind of low, and so the laneway is above them and transitions down. You can see a couple stairs here, and then finally we're down at grade where you can walk in with no stairs.
And no parking anymore in the back, right?
No parking.
So it's all green space and laneway.
And this has been a great opportunity for us to provide real handicap access, at least into the buildings. We can't do it from Bay State Road because of the steps and even then a step inside.
And it's historic and you can't change the park besides, right.
So this is taking away that no drainage, true alley in every sense of the word, and creating it into a pedestrian-friendly laneway as well as landscaped.
Good.
Now, did you get Skip's 13 reference? He was talking about the elevations.
Yeah, I understood that.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Yes.
And just a detail back here, you know, we're looking at the front yards here, and we sort of replicate that back here. So you can have planting here that's more idiosyncratic, more personal. And then just like the street tree planting out on Bay State, you've got a more kind of formal unifying planting going on there. And then up at the Grove, we're going to keep the vine wall that is just magnificent on the end. The brownstone, you have two trees there that are existing. We've had a certified arborist come out and take a look at the two of them. The magnolia is pretty ripped up. I've got photographs if you're interested. And then the beech tree has a real trunk problem. She dug down around it, and it was either planted too deep or there's a kind of a choking root down below grade. But it's not a very good tree to keep. And so we're proposing street trees all along here where none exist. Right now in elevated planters, somewhat like you have on Com Ave here. And then in this area here where you have those two trees I just mentioned plus two others, we're going to replace those with 13 or so flowering trees, probably be cherries or magnolias or something. In addition to those, we have twice as much seating that you have there now, including social seating, which you don't have now. All your seating is isolated, but you have some seating facing seating, and some raised planters with both spring perennials like allium and also fall bulbs in them too. So that pretty much describes the site.
Yep.
That's good.
This is diagrams how the building, as it goes up to the fifth floor, cantilevers over the laneway into the...
In the early stages of our review process.
Yeah.
Soon after, in fact, the task force meeting, task force was introduced to the project. Meetings with the BPDA asked us to study sliding the building...
Back a little bit.
Back a little bit to give a little bit more elbow room or space along Commonwealth Avenue.
I agree.
And as we were kind of playing the accordion, is it too close to our row houses?
Right.
Is it too close to the street? The team came up with this dimension.
I like it better than the hulking thing over Commonwealth, I have to say.
You know, and it still gives space and air to the assets.
And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but it did sort of hulk over Commonwealth before. I like this sort of balance.
And this doesn't encroach in a way that will damage the row houses because there's plenty of air, both in terms of height and depth.
Right.
And it's only the length of the tower, which is 120 feet.
Correct. Right, and then it steps back to the courtyard and widens again.
Just some detailed shots of some of the open space elements. In the courtyard behind the building, have a blackboard. There will be a green site wall. We'll be harvesting stormwater and some kind of runnel in order to irrigate the trees back there, so we're not totally reliant on an irrigation system. We'll also have a green wall. And both of these elements will be sited where the core elevator parts of the buildings are. They would have been blank walls, and so we're turning something that would have been unsightly into an asset. You go to the next. Lighting plan. A lot of ambient light around the building because it's all glass to begin with, so we'll have spill out, plus there are soffit lights that almost surround the building. We'll have uplights that are at grade in the courtyard here and similar in the grove. And then in the laneway, we're going to have pedestrian scale lights. So those would be in the 13 to 15 foot high mounting range and go down there. And that's pretty much it for lighting. We're also going to light the vine wall. We think it's such an asset. It'll be beautiful at night.
And also replacing the lights on the townhouses so we get some...
Oh, some lights across the back of the area of the laneway now.
Yeah.
So is that what we're here to just look at this, only because Terry's got a time constraint, so...
Okay. So as I understand it, this is an advisory.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not voting on it.
Okay.
Not voting.
Okay.
Do you want to briefly just mention the second project? We don't have to get into the...
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
do you want to do that just so Terry can see?
Any questions on this?
Do you have any questions?
Any questions or concerns?
And I think the changes are great. I really do. I think they really look good.
The site development comment is definitely a plus.
Yeah.
The other project is 91 Bay State Road.
Public.
Killeshan. And... Want to use the one you have?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a little error in the title of each slide, but that's okay. It's the content's the same.
Do you want to follow along on those?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thanks, honey.
Thanks for reminding me.
There you go.
I'm paying attention.
Just checking.
Somebody's got to keep it.
Rebecca Berry from Feingold Alexander is the architect on this project.
Start. Go ahead and start. This is just...
Okay.
Do you want me to intro?
You do the intro.
Okay. So this is, of course, something slightly different from data sciences,
yep.
i.e. this is the existing building at 91 Bay State Road, which, of course, you guys are familiar with. It's
yep.
the one, mm-hmm. our one tall building, right, as you go along Bay State. Yep. And this project is really, frankly, about three things: code, life, safety, and accessibility.
And this is the upper floors, right?
This
You've already done the lobby and all that. Right?
Correct.
Okay.
So the real focus of this project is the ninth level, right? That
Over
area
top?
That was enclosed.
Yep.
The very
awesome.
Top. Yes, exactly.
You're going to fix the roof?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Up. I love it.
Yeah, so this is, I'll run through this super quickly.
Thanks, only because Terry has to,
yeah. That's fine. But again, we have this sort of major issues: life safety, accessibility, sustainability, and then exterior work.
Yep.
So just to go through quickly, the existing ninth floor is a sort of partially enclosed space. As we know, there was originally a terrace on top of the building. The wings were enclosed in or around the 1940s. The space is not accessible. It's not terribly safe. It has jalousy windows all around. It's not necessarily the most attractive, and it is certainly not sustainable. So this project is about removing fire escapes, bringing it up to code, dealing with conditions such as you see here, right?
The one in the upper right
is
one of the two egress, one of two egress ways in the wings. Mm-hmm. You have to climb up a stair of about 3 or 4 feet.
And looks like crawl through a small door.
Through a door that's 4 feet.
Oh my God.
And then you're on the fire escapes.
You're going to really want to get out of the building to do that.
Yes, you would really
a
need
rope
to
would be better.
Fire escape right there.
Yeah, yes. A rope would be better.
Yeah. Bed sheets.
And then you want to just jump ahead for Terry so she can see what the outside looks like.
Absolutely.
And then we can stay and do the rest. But just so she can see.
Yeah, these are just the historic.
Logical and firm to me.
So basically what's happening is, I'll go straight to the final plan. So we're doing some additions to the ninth floor to do a new egress stair and elevators. You see that sort of purple shaded area on the left. That's the west wing of the building. And then accessible toilets makes up the other addition on the east side of the building.
Over there,
And then I won't belabor you with how we got to the exact roof form. And then what happens at the intermediate floors, and this is just a real benefit to this project, is that because we are plowing this stair and elevator core down through the building, we have to renovate around, and so that's where we're putting accessible bedrooms. So for the first time,
there'll be accessible bedrooms.
Truly accessible bedrooms.
So the fire escapes go away.
Yeah, yes.
There's one historic change.
On other side.
And what the glass looks like on the roof would be, I guess,
it's
changed.
Pretty
similar.
So
it's the same to what's there.
So it's what we have is we have a structural silicone glazed system, so it will be largely just a glazed wall, right?
Okay.
We'll see very few mullions, that's the idea, so that it will be quite visible at night. We're keeping the existing roof lines. The additions at the front, we're matching the height of the peak of the roof, so we're not increasing the height of the building.
And the project kind of...
All right. And then we'll just keep going.
Okay.
All right.
But you don't have any questions, then you can just look very
great. And we don't need to vote.
No,
right?
No.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you, guys. Sorry,
thank you, sweetie.
I have to run. It's just
the other
time.
I'll take notes and catch you up on
Perfect.
It.
Thanks for coming, Terry.
The other really good part of the outside work that we're doing, too, is as you probably know if you've ever looked at the building closely, there's significant cracking at the corners. It's got the classic issue of this parapet at the top here, where they built when they built the addition at the top and they enclosed it. The way that they constructed those short walls on top of the parapet has been just driving water into the masonry for decades.
Oh my God.
Right. So that water, of course, finds its way down through this exterior masonry wall. You know, this is not a cavity wall; it's a mass wall. So there are layers of brick. Some areas have already been peeled off and rebuilt. We've had an extensive survey done by SGH, and that has determined really what we're doing with the building. From the eighth floor window heads up, we're taking the exterior wides down and we're rebuilding.
Wow.
So we're putting in new lintels at that level. And then also at every corner of the building, and there are a lot because of the H shape and these front towers, we are going cutting over about 3 feet, taking off all the brick, taking off the limestone,
Sort of like Miles. But it is, and is it because the shadows, the sun never got into certain areas that it got worse? So,
so
it's water and
what
shadows?
What happens when the water hits that steel, right, at the corners, and the way they used to lay out brick was they would basically lay it right against the steel. So the steel rusts, the rust expands the steel, and it jacks the brick right off.
Wow.
And so many of these corners are, there's very significant cracking, right? So what we're doing actually is doing all new brick. We feel confident we can match the brick because we've actually done exploration and patching over the course of a couple of summers. The limestone pieces we're going to salvage. So we're going to take all of those off.
All the stuff on the bottom part.
So all this coining, right? So you've got coining that goes
Is that what you call it?
Yes, exactly. There's some similar detailing at Miles, too. So we have this limestone coining, and then also we have banding.
Yep.
At multiple levels of the building. So in some cases, we have to take a much larger piece of stone off, right, as we're sort of taking the jigsaw apart and then putting it
back together again.
And we have a full limestone band at the top. There's a few areas where the limestone has been damaged or eroded, and so we will be doing a little bit of replication, but it's really very minor. Most of the limestone is in a condition that we can salvage it and put it back on the building. Which is great. Unlike the castle,
right,
which was sandstone, which is soft.
Right.
This time we have limestone, so we're in much better shape.
And are you doing anything around the doorway?
Actually, no, we're not doing any work at the doorway.
Okay, and so the Sheridan sign will stay and all of that?
That stays, we're not doing any signage, anything like that.
Right, yeah.
The medallion is netted right now.
This here, yes, exactly.
Yes, that's been netted for a long time.
We're gonna fix that.
Awesome.
So that will be repaired as part of this project. The urns that are up there will have to be taken down, we'll repin them so that they're secure. Items like this are just classic, kind of waiting to fail hazards. So all of that, the building will be completely scaffolded, right?
And how long will it take to do them?
We're looking at about a year of construction.
And nobody living in it during the construction, or will?
Yes and no. So the way this project has been conceived, Consigli is currently working as a CM for Precon. As you probably know, they're an excellent contractor for this type of work. And they are looking at what we're calling one summer slammer plus a fall into a spring. So a lot of work will be done over that first summer when no students are in the building.
And is that this summer, or is that a year from?
The target right now is to start May of 20.
20,
yes.
Okay, so a year from right now, okay.
You will, if you were to go by there this summer, you will see some lifts. We're doing some additional pre-construction exploratory work.
Similar to what we did at Miles?
Yes.
To learn more about the building.
About how bad it is, right.
Yeah, so we're kind of doing some final confirmation of what our scope on the exterior will be. Doing some test pits for the groundwater recharge, things like that to make sure that when we hit the ground.
You can really get it done.
Yes, because there's a lot of work to do in that summer in order to be able to partially reoccupy the building with students in the fall. So that's the plan.
And when will the roof get done? Sorry, I don't mean to monopolize, I'm just curious.
The current plan is that the entire construction that you see at the top would be stripped in that summer. What you'll see when we're done is basically the bones. A little bit of brick tower.
So no glass.
No glass, no nothing, you'll see the structure of the existing roof. And then everything will be temped in by the time the students come back. So that we can then complete everything during the fall semester, yes.
That'll be really dramatic when that's done. There'll be a lot of people happy, like a lot of people have relatives that went to dances up there and things like that, you know.
It's a fun spot, it's sort of has an interesting history to it. So it'll be nice to kind of bring it into this century, if you will.
And that's the building Eugene O'Neill died in, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I forget my floor.
So that's kind of the simple plan for the outside.
Was it?
Do we know, I was going to say, did everyone know where?
They know where the room is.
Yeah, somebody does, I don't.
It's haunted under.
The ghost is still there.
I wouldn't be surprised if most of that building is haunted, having been in there at night.
To contrast Howard Stern.
Yes.
Whose ghost still roams through Miles.
Miles Towers, yes, exactly.
He's a BU product?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute.
Well.
He lived at Miles, that's what I'll admit to.
Yeah, he didn't attend many classes.
I don't know this personal record.
Does Harvey.
He was there in the days of John Summer, too.
So to sort of keep going, I won't go back to everything else. We'll go through.
Oh, no, you can't. She just wanted an overview before she left.
Yeah, a little more detail on the what you're proposing to do.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. Go back to the beginning.
Let me go back a little bit. Okay. So go back to the beginning.
I just wanted her to see the overview
just sort
before
of overview.
She left.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so.
And then we'll go back to the science.
Back to data, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So starting again at the ninth floor. So we're sort of, the way this works is we're kind of working our way down.
Yeah.
Because this is, of course, where the majority of the work is.
Right.
So as noted before, the ninth floor is really about life safety and accessibility. And then we're also doing envelope as part of kind of a bigger envelope piece, right? So this is the existing floor plate. You may recall that the majority of the construction at the moment is sort of back from this front line of the H, right?
Yep.
And this is, again, all the area that's enclosed in that kind of glass jalousie type framing. There are two existing restrooms, which are totally non-compliant with today's code. We have our two fire escapes, which are needed at the moment for egress based on the number of people who can be on that floor. It's an assembly type floor.
And it's study space now, right?
It is study space, yes, exactly. And then there is only a single elevator servicing this floor at the moment. The two elevators for the building are in this east wing, but this one doesn't actually come up to this level. It only goes up to the floor below. So this is, again, existing conditions. Just to give you a sense, there's all these kind of level changes everywhere. Again, as Paul's noted before, our lovely and safe egress out in the event of a fire. Now, what this shows here is what was originally on the building. So as you mentioned, people going to dances there, right? When the building was constructed, there were these two towers, one here on the west and one here on the east, for stairs, mechanical elevators, et cetera, and then there was a pergola in between and looked like that.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so the construction only went up to that 8th floor parapet, right, above the windows.
And at as some John Silver point, always said, and then, of course, the backyard went right to the river.
Yes, exactly. Yep, exactly. Before Storrow Drive.
Right, before Storrow Drive.
And then, at some point, we think around the 1940s, this was done, right? So the enclosure was placed on the two wings, and then the middle was closed in. We have some fun photos of the ceiling painted with clouds in there and everything, wow, and sort of bandstand type, yeah, setup. So when we started looking...
Isn't that pretty? Look at that. Mm-hmm.
And
look at
I guess
lawn
it had a
and
sign.
Everything. I mean,
look
how pretty it was. No,
yeah,
back alley, no, you know...
No back street.
Drive, no back street. Yeah.
No,
no
cars.
Dumpsters, no cars. Look how pretty. Benches and people and water.
So our charge for this project was to deal in many ways with this life safety issue, with updating this space for current study needs for the students, not only of this building, but for students who belong to Killeshan Honors College and students, frankly, along all of Bay State Road. Now, of course, you have some spaces and miles, but when we started this project, those weren't even there. So
right,
this will help complement those common spaces and miles. And as part of doing that, of course, we have to have proper egress and proper access, elevator, stair, right? So we looked at where we could place that stair and then the elevator access, went through a series of studies. And I'm just going to give you kind of a brief overview of how that happened, because this is really how we ended up shaping the scale of the additions.
Mm-hmm.
And we were hemmed in by a lot of existing constraints in the existing building. So at one point, we had looked at this single egress stair and an elevator, both within the building. At another point, there was the option of, do we put the stair outside of the building? Because we knew now that we needed two elevators.
Right.
Because when we did the traffic studies and looked at how many people
we
needed to move up and down,
right,
for academic purposes, we simply needed two elevators. This was seen as not the most ideal thing because, interestingly enough, unlike all the other buildings on Bay State Road, this building actually has space to its east and its west. It's not connected.
Right.
So we wanted to kind of keep that space open. Additionally, of course, there are issues with trying to build in such a tight alley, and there is an abutter on this side.
Yeah,
MIT does not own,
right,
exactly,
MIT
doesn't own,
yeah,
the adjoining property. So the kind of final option that we came to was stair inside the building and the two elevators, shifted in this orientation, sliding in between existing structure, reworking and regaining some spaces at the floors below, as I'll show you, that sort of opened up because of the fire escapes. And this allowed us to lose the least number of beds and to keep everything inside the existing building envelope. Exactly.
Nice.
And that was seen as the best kind of solution to all of our varied problems. Now, in terms of where these items ended up, there was constraints, obviously, going through the structural grid of the building, and then we had some really big constraints in the basement. We have an existing boiler room, which, of course, all that equipment is used, and we couldn't really kind of get into that space without turning this into a much larger project than it really wanted to be. And also, we needed to locate new elevators in a space where we could hang an elevator pit below. The elevators don't go all the way down to the basement. They
right,
only go to the first floor. So we had to do work in this emergency electrical room as there will be a new generator for the building. So this was kind of an ideal spot to make that work.
Interesting.
What that looked like then when we took everything up to the top floor, and this is where, as I mentioned earlier, we're looking at maintaining existing roof elevations, right? So this middle piece of the building here, there's a very slight slope to the roof. It has a peak. And these numbers here you see, where you see this 13.6 and this 0, the 0 is basically the level of the 9th floor,
okay,
which is really the original roof of the building.
Right.
Right. So if you see an existing, so for 9 feet, for instance, that's
above.
9 feet above that level. Exactly. So our highest point other than our two, this is a mechanical overrun, and this is an elevator overrun.
Hmm.
They match. You can see they're 17 feet 6 above that 9th floor level. Okay?
And they're to the back of the building.
Towards the back
side
of the building. Yeah, you
right,
don't really see them at all.
Yeah, because I've never noticed
them. You can actually
them
see them in one of the postcards.
Okay. Yes,
yeah,
but not from the street.
not from Bay State Road.
Right.
Exactly. So those existed, and so we took off of those existing heights, as you can see, where we did this addition here for the accessible toilet rooms, we carried this 13 foot 6 across. And same thing here, where we had to do new construction over here. We actually are having to remove a piece of structure here because it's simply done.
Yeah.
And it's the roof would have required so much reinforcement to bring it up to code that it just didn't make any sense. But we're taking it through at that same height again. And then where we have the elevators here, we were able to match the height of those existing overruns. So again, we're not going any taller
than what
than
was there.
Any of the elements that are there. Wow. Exactly. So main roof line adheres, overrun adheres. And this just demonstrates why we had to take the high point, which is that the low points and those wings are very low. And of course, we're doing all new mechanical equipment, so getting anything in up here would not have made any sense. Also, the original building, the only piece, you may recall, that little diagram showing
right.
you where the original was here. This building didn't used to have sloped roofs.
Oh,
so our new pieces are flat, just like all of the new additions have been to the building.
Yeah.
Right. So we adhere to that kind of idea as we go, as we look at shaping the massing of that top. Again, working our way down the building, floors 2 to 8. This is the existing layout. You can see these two fire escapes. You can also see these 20-inch access corridors to get to them. Not terribly ideal. So when we looked at bringing this core down through, we actually claimed those spaces for rooms. That was one of the ways we avoided losing more beds, because we're simply taking that space and incorporating it into a room.
Right.
And then doing the accessible bedrooms and bathrooms around the new stair and elevator core.
Which I think is a really good thing. I mean, you just don't even think about it in these old buildings, and I'm sure it's a real problem. You know, not to have availability.
Right, it is.
Yeah, it's definitely an issue. And of course, when you do, as you know, a certain amount of work on a building, you
right,
need to bring it up to
right,
code.
Right.
So we are going
you
to
trigger
be,
that.
We are going to be fully accessible by the time this project is done.
Wow.
The whole building.
That's
super
wonderful.
Simple. Yes. We have a very small variance we're seeing for a railing and this existing egress stair, but that's it. We are able also to abandon the west egress stair and just use our nice new pressurized, code-compliant, fully high-rise, you know.
Right.
We have the fluorescent markings, if you've seen those in some of the new
yeah.
new buildings. So we have all of those types of code-related issues taken care of with this stair.
So
at the first floor, we basically just come down and place our new stair and elevator. However, we also improve the egress because at the moment, everybody has to go either down to the basement, which we don't recommend, or they both have to come and access out this front door. But now this egress stair will come directly through its own lobby and out of the building.
And so that's new. So that's where the offices are, is that right now?
The offices are in the lower right.
Killeshand
okay.
Honors
yeah.
College occupies this whole eastern end.
Okay.
Yes.
There are Res Life offices
yep.
here, which
that's
are not.
Yeah,
okay.
That's
but
Jen's. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
But we're not actually impacting those, except for a very small area. This area here
yep.
is storage at the moment.
Okay.
So we're able to bring the elevators down without too much impact on the first floor program. Then, as was mentioned before, the proposed exterior work, the rebuilding of the masonry at the ninth, and then the corners of the building. So again, this is very simple. You know, here's what it's going to look like, i.e. it's going to look pretty much like it does now,
yeah.
just refreshed. Again, structural silicone glazing, add all that glass at the top. The everywhere we have a solid, we're planning on a flat seam zinc panel. The idea being to kind of blend this with all the other roofs in the area, to keep it very kind of quiet
mm-hmm.
in terms of its architectural expression. Sort of the opposite of our other project. We don't want you to notice us. And then we do have some mechanical screening at the front of the building, which is a simple kind of a, it's actually an interesting architectural panel. We'll show it when
I think
there
was
back.
A picture of it.
There's
in
a picture
right?
of it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so again, everything is kind of, is this sort of neutral, what we'll call like a mid-tone gray, right? So this is the existing view from Storrow Drive, as anyone who's ever been sitting in traffic might have looked up and noticed it. And this is what the proposed view of the building will be. So again, you can see the glazing here being much more open. And then this is the new addition here. This is the east side, right? So this is, you're heading west along Storrow
yeah.
as you go. And then some small new windows. And then the roof lines, again, they stay. This all new energy efficient curtain wall and cladding. Just merely having a good envelope on this building will be huge. The roof of the building, I should note, is planned to be a gray TPO, but we're doing a seam on it. So they have these little sort of battens, if you will, now, that will basically make the roof look like a standing seam roof,
well,
even though it's not. Yeah. And we'll be able to, of course, insulate the existing roof
mm-hmm.
for energy efficiency, and as you probably noticed, no more fire escapes, right, on the building. These are the two views from Bay State Road. So this is 100 Bay State, right? The Yaki Center, not the center, but the student center, if you will, right? So the first view is from the opposite side of Bay State Road looking west. Second view is from the student center, then looking east. So this is currently how it looks from the opposite side of Bay State, right? You can see that lovely netting,
mm-hmm.
which will go away.
Yeah.
Again, new cladding at this front middle area. The new additions here are just fully clad, they're solid. And then here you can see the mechanical screening. The mechanical screening has been a real kind of push-pull. We've had a lot of conversations about how high it needs to be, how high it doesn't need to be. We have put the equipment as low down to the roof as we reasonably can and maintain it.
Yeah.
Because the screen is getting high. So at this point, the screen is about 5 feet above that parapet, and it will fully block the view to any mechanical equipment. We have very little space left, as you might imagine, to place mechanical equipment on the building once we do the addition. This is the view from 100 Bay State now. This is the view in the end. As you can see, that's where the elevator is.
Yeah.
That's why we were careful to explain kind of why we had to site that as we did. We certainly would have loved it if we could get it further back, but there's just no place to put it,
mm-hmm.
right, and within the building footprint. And again, you can see the mechanical screening and the new glazing. And these are sort of our two chief materials. So again, simple flat seam zinc for the wall panels, and then this kind of a, what we call like an open weave mesh, if you will. It's a very interesting material. It can be placed down or up. So we can do some mock-ups and decide whether we want the equipment more screened or slightly more open when we get to that process, when we get to that point. So again, this is just basically a nice little summary of what it is that we're doing.
And it's sort of like the roof on Miles.
Very much.
Yes, you know, the way it's going to look is how you ended up.
I recall having conversations with you all about the screening of the mechanical equipment, and we did.
Same kind of look and feel as we ended up approving for that building. So. It really looks nice.
Questions?
What do you think?
Well, I think it looks nice on both sides, just like Mount Standish.
Yeah,
you know?
Came out beautiful. Yeah. And well, I mean, personally, I think we're really lucky that the university put so much time, effort, and detail into restoring some of the buildings. I mean, it's not
really
an easy or inexpensive thing to do. So we're, I think,
I mean, it's part of our campus, and we're all part of the
Well, and you know, and you guys really have committed to this historic district.
Yeah.
I mean, you really have, and every building you do, you really do it right. You know, when you wait until you can do it right. I think, you know, it's not...
I don't think they do it right. I think they do it first class.
They do. They really do. And it's really not a cheap part of business. So we're very lucky that it's a university, because I don't think an individual building owner could do it to the extent that you people do it. So, you know, we appreciate it.
So thank you.
Much.
Do you want, is there any public comment? Anyone?
We can go back to
and now for something completely different.
Back, sir.
Are we just picking up where we left off?
Yes.
We talked about the exterior lighting. These are just precedent images of that. What that lighting would look like. The softened lighting of our building would be similar to what's the image on the left. Our up lighting of the trees. The green wall being lit from below. I think there's some benches in the walls in the courtyard that are going to be lit similar to where the man is sitting. And then the pole light is along in the laneway, in that buffer zone between the lane and the backs of the townhouses.
Yeah.
And then the handrails, there's a, an LED light underneath the handrail. These are just some views of the building at
grade. So it's very different on ComEd now. You don't have that sort of podium hanging right above you on the
you can see
second floor.
At the far end.
Yeah.
At the Granby end.
You do. On
you
both
do.
Ends,
but I'm just saying, this view.
Right. It's wider.
Right. It's wider.
So, the building used to sit at the line of the ground plane where you have concrete to the stone.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the proper line. So it's been shifted back 11 feet.
Which is nice on Commonwealth Avenue.
So
I think that really gives you that
bigger,
avenue feel.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is the opening between the Sergeant building and our building with the east entrance. And you can see the backs of the brownstones.
Mm-hmm. I think we all look at the row houses, the back bay row houses. Is having small private backyards.
Yes.
And at least
and
in this
that back
block.
Now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At least in this
that.
Block, that was taken away by
it
the great
was.
Automobile.
Right.
You know, in the great dumpster of life.
Right.
And we're really turning it back to a student friendly, pedestrian friendly, person
like a
friendly.
Plaza.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In the back, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a laneway, a plaza, whatever you want to call it.
So now this is at the other end at Granby, at the. West entrance. Looking.
And that's glass on the right, not open space,
it's,
right?
It's on the right it's glass, but we tried to make it as minimal, so there's, it's just structural glass, no mullions, so that you get that porosity right back to the core on the right, deep into the building. So, you know, we're almost taking the footprint of that grove all the way through to Commonwealth Avenue. So you feel that open space right through.
That was the other thing that came up with this, with the agency, with the BPDA. They asked us not only to shift it north off the avenue, but west, so that there was more space, that the grove would essentially extend through the building onto Commonwealth Avenue, and the sidewalk would be a little bit wider.
Right, right.
You'd see more sky on the left there.
Yeah.
So this is the existing conditions, looking west. And just, you know, an approximate limit of the architectural conservation district.
Yeah, don't hold us to that line on that.
Right. And this is the...
looking west.
Yeah.
This is kind of
the before. The re-envisioned laneway, the more pedestrian, green.
And I love all the green. I do. I think it's great.
And there's the districts.
Yeah.
So, you know, the on the right, there's a buffer zone between the backs of the brownstones and the laneway, so that you can walk back there.
So you can walk on both sides of the tree line.
Yeah. This is where you can really see, you know, the line of the district, how the ground floor, literally, it just touches here, and then because this line is not parallel to the building, it just is a little bit of overlap.
Yeah, and then the overhang.
And then starting at the fifth floor, you know, the building does overhang over the laneway, but you can see that still, you know, the townhouses are over here, there's still plenty of air and light, and, you know, with the mid-block passage, that opens up the laneway a lot, too.
Right. So. Was there mid-block passage always, or did you?
No.
No.
That's what I didn't think. Yeah, I thought it was all...
It's kind of odd. We never wanted to put the building against Sargent.
Right.
But it wasn't... It's an odd kind of precedent-setting move to actually open up a long block and make this opening. And you wouldn't do it if you're walking to an alley.
Right. That's why this is no longer an alley. Right.
But if we're going to make this laneway something that people will use, then that mid-block move really makes sense.
Right. It's almost like by the law school. Added all that behind the GSU and the law school, and you have those benches back there and the green space that leads into the Sargent Chapel thing.
Similarly, looking east the laneway.
So little nuts and bolts. That trash compactor container is going to move over to Sargent, behind Sargent, and in our loading dock. The trash compactor is inside the dock.
Okay.
So it's not in the laneway.
One of the things I stumbled across in doing the research for the project, there is a gap from 152 Bay to 212, 214 Bay.
Really?
Right, there's a missing building there.
Right, a two. That's what they call the missing two.
It was never built.
Never ever?
Never built.
So it wasn't like the one near Mrs. Ryan's house that got taken down.
Right.
I
can't find any reference that there was ever
a
building.
So it was always
a
yard.
Yeah. Wow. Now, what it allows is when we finish acquiring the block,
right,
and we continue this design all the way to Silver Way, we are going to be able to create
a little path through our backyard,
all the way through onto Bay State Road.
Wow.
A mid-block connection.
Wow.
It was meant to be.
Mm-hmm. It really was.
Well, this will be the beginning of it, which is great.
Exactly.
It'll be the impetus to keep going. Right.
It's really a promise from our institutional master plan as well.
Right.
When we were going through the process and really looking at this from a campus-wide perspective, it's starting to see the
connections
fruition of it.
Right, right.
So now you're at the atrium looking looking south, and you can see how open the building is. You get views through to Commonwealth Avenue. And the trees in the...
And that's walkway, like ramping kind of walkway?
Yeah, so on the left...
Go back to the last image, Paolo.
You can see, so that last image we were standing basically where these people are looking south. And this is the accessible ramp.
Ramp, yeah.
It takes you up to the courtyard. And then
it's actually a sidewalk. It's not a ramp.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
it's even nicer.
It's very gradual.
Right.
The guard is already there to mitigate the height.
But it serves a dual purpose.
Yeah.
Right.
And then this is a view at the courtyard looking west again. So the grove, the pocket park, is just around the corner here.
Mm-hmm.
The laneway's down here. This is the outdoor classroom that we're, that Skip was speaking to, and the atrium is sort of in this zone.
And you'll see we wanted to contrast the formality of this Bosque with the informality of the Grove on Graham Street. And you can see the trees are regularly placed, just like the photograph on the upper right.
Mm-hmm.
So you get pockets of sun, areas of shade, but they also help in making spaces too.
Right.
Break down the scale of it so there's more intimate spaces, more open spaces. And some of the things that BU wants to do is actually program this, or use it for programmed events for the Hillel Foundation or the Catholic
Center. Castle across the street.
Castle, admissions, and so on. And so.
All right, because admissions is then
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
That's what pushed us to a more open plan here. But we just recently introduced these planters into it.
It is interesting because it is at the west end of the district.
Right.
You know, it's not in the middle of the residential block.
Right.
In Caddy Corner, we have the very active alumni admissions
right.
in even
Castle.
This building.
Right. Right.
So there is a nice little locus of activity that this is supporting.
And that was always a park, right?
I
mean, it might have been a building 100 years ago or something.
No, never built upon.
Really? That was never built either?
Yeah.
Never built upon.
Yeah.
It was a parking lot. Saw a picture with Boston Mounted Police.
Isn't that right?
Getting ready to support the president as he walked out of the castle.
Oh, isn't that right? Isn't that funny? Because, I mean, it's all, you know, in my lifetime it's always been a park, but I figured maybe some building fell down or something over the course of time.
There's also, really,
no,
sorry,
no, please.
Strong diagonal circulation across the park, and if you go to the next image, you can see that path.
Yes, yep.
Allows that, but we've allowed that also.
Nice. And that takes you to the Hillel House.
Yep.
And the other one
yes.
takes you to the castle.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, and this is a before and after, too. You'll see that is taken from about the
similar
vantage
yeah. point, yeah. And a
nice.
View in the courtyard looking north.
Mm-hmm.
And you see some of the social seating on the right,
yep.
seating across
yeah.
from seating.
And also how you've provided a kind of base for the ivy wall.
Mm-hmm.
On the back there, yeah.
On the back on the right.
Granby is shown on the left as it is right now, 40 foot wide, two 12 foot travel lanes, and two 8 foot parking. And we're proposing that it be 34 foot wide with two 11 foot travel lanes and two 6 foot bicycle lanes instead.
Making it two-way.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The proposal that we floated, you know, way back
So
you didn't decide to do that? That's interesting.
Yeah, so this curb stays, so we're basically moving the curb 6 feet in that direction.
Okay.
And
we
because
pick that up.
Yeah.
Pick that up.
And because the building moved this way 8 feet, we just make a really wide sidewalk.
Which is
and
wonderful.
Plenty of planting. That's why we can get the row of trees in,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a big...
Because that's always sort of been a neglected corner, because it was the
yeah.
Burger King, and
yeah.
you know, you guys did
yeah.
it all
Manny's,
from part of the
town. Manny's had
his little... Yeah, Manny had his little...
Yeah, falafel
stand. Right, right.
And these are just other views from the district. So this is
at
Granby, at the castle, looking...
Southeast.
Southeast, yeah.
This is mid-block between Silver Way and Granby, looking southwest. So,
he was
way up there in the trees.
Way up there in the trees.
It was important to us, to the university and to the design team, that the building not present a wall, a solid wall, a flat wall, in any direction.
Right.
So, you know, it was in our institutional master plan that we could build height here.
Right.
But this design is allowing for that kind of
breaking
up
of
that
scale
wall effect.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, most of the views that have been out in the public realm have been from Commonwealth Avenue,
exactly.
not from Bay State
right.
Road, so it's interesting that it sort of disappears amongst the roof lines and tree
yeah,
along Bay State Road.
And then a view from across the river.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sharp, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And... Okay. Do we need some?
That's it.
Yep.
So our schedule indicates that we're going to be back before you for a public meeting and official review on June 11th.
Yeah, we plan to submit the formal application to the commission by the May 20th deadline for this project.
Good, so.
So that formally come before.
Any questions, any comments, any suggestions for us to take back and?
So Joe, for our purview, it's what overhangs the district?
Yes.
And the view coming down Bay State Road?
Yeah, well, and the Grove, you know, all the changes to the Grove.
And all the changes along there.
And the changes in the current alleyway also are under our purview.
Which I think are all really nice, don't you, Roland?
Yeah.
I think those are real positives, so. And is Joe part of the review process prior to, I mean?
Yeah, I've seen this before.
Yeah, good, okay.
Both of them.
Few times, yeah.
Good, yeah, good, no, I just want to make sure that we're, you know, yeah.
Well, will your project be coming in also, or?
We think it may be a month after June.
Yeah, we might look to look to for the July here for that.
For the?
For the Killeshaw.
Killeshaw.
Yeah. A little bit more time on that in terms of, you know, schedule.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that this is just kind of properly dovetailing with BPDA actions.
Right.
Correct.
And BPDC and all that stuff, yeah, yeah. I was just curious, which pieces really were we supposed to focus on? I mean, it's good to look at the totality of it, but.
Right, and I think you did a great job explaining why it is overhanging into the district, which was, you know, I think that's the primary question.
Exactly, yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
It's important to us both, right?
Right. No, I think, I understand it now, I just wanted to make sure that I was sure that I understood what we were doing.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll want to see a little more detail of what's going on in the alleyway for the June presentation, just to get a little more detail on that.
What do you mean by detail?
Site plans.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, the renderings look great, but we're going to get a solid site plan of exactly what's going on.
More technical information.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will that be on?
Materiality.
Will we meet then as well, on June 11th?
Yes, yep.
Okay.
Is that a good date for you?
I gotta look at the calendar here. I think it's good, but.
And do we want to put, you want to put the July date in too, Roland, so just so we're.
June what? 11?
June 11th, we didn't pick the date in July, did we?
The July hearing, I believe for you folks is the first.
Should be the 9th.
The 9th.
July 9th, okay, just so I'll let Terry know too.
So 11 and 9, okay.
Anything else?
Is that good?
Nope. Rule anything?
No, I'm good.
Do you want to make a?
Any public?
Any public comment?
Hi, just one question about shadows on the rear of the.
Would you like to identify yourself, Allison Fulton?
Sure, hi, thank you. Hi, I'm Allison Fulton, I'm basically here just to listen, but I was wondering about shadows on the back of the row houses. Is that a question that you guys have to look at too, or not?
We're not really shadow.
Shadow, no, I mean, we don't really, that's outside of our purview.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But, I mean, it's a valid question.
Yeah, I've heard it discussed regarding the, you know, deterioration of masonry because of being in the shade and in winter, so I don't know if that's, I have no idea what.
Right, right, well, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, we have our experts here, I mean, is there any, what will the impact potentially be on air and environmental deterioration of the masonry at the row housing?
Well, the first thing is that, I'm trying to, you know, we have done shadow studies and the five-story podium, I mean, in spring, summer, and fall, I don't think the shadow gets to the townhouses in the winter, obviously, because shadows are deeper. The tower is only 120 feet wide. So even though it obviously will shadow over the townhouses, that it's for a couple of hours and then it moves on. So you don't get that situation where, you know, a slab building is just shadowing the whole set of townhouses for the entire day, except for the winter. Because obviously in the winter months, the sun's low and everything's in shadow.
Shadows.
Right, so the winter is the concern, yeah.
But it's the spring and fall when you get those days, thaw days, that's when you get the really bad stuff happening with water getting in and just not not getting burned off or evaporating. That's when you get the real deterioration.
Like today, yeah.
Yeah, 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 one of these things. A May day, a typical May day in Boston, I'm told. This is what today was like.
And you guys own, like I said, all the abutting property.
Right.
Right there.
Certainly we've proven that we're a good custodian of our
property. Right, of all those backs and fronts of all those
and
buildings.
The,
really
the point
do.
Of the design has been not to have a solid wall.
Right.
And not to have a solid wall.
Yeah.
And understanding even in the location of it that we were providing adequate space, airspace, along the alley in the lower floors and then the distance from top of roof to the cantilevered area and in between. So unlike trying to think of other buildings that we have, I mean, certainly Miles was certainly very, very tight in its wings on the north side. We took that into consideration locating us, siting the building.
Yeah. Architecturally, I think it's actually interesting that what you're doing is you're taking, so a lot of the backs in all of our historic districts have become like real backs, right? You're sort of looking out at trash, this, that, cars, which were never sort of meant to be there. And now you're going to give your students who have, say, a room on the back of that building,
actually,
kind of an incredible, like it's like you're looking at a park.
They're looking at a park,
That's a, I think that's a nice benefit to the design.
Well, and the basement unit suddenly becomes the most prime unit.
Right.
Yes. Walk out to a good place, get right to the avenue.
Well, that would give light and air, and also that you're going to light it, artificial lighting and daylighting.
And that's real unusual in Boston.
I know, sorry. Or a dumpster.
Walk by the dumpster on your way.
Right. No, I think it's great. Anything else? Anybody else? Okay. If not, do you want to make a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
If you second it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.